As you hear the familiar theme music that heralds the beginning of Insight for Living every day, you'll be encouraged to learn that listeners all around the world are coming alongside you today. Did you know, for instance, that Chuck Swindoll's Bible teaching is heard on more than 2,000 stations? Yeah, and translated into multiple languages other than English. Well, during the next half hour, we'll have the privilege of meeting one of Chuck's ministry colleagues who will bring encouraging news about your fellow international listeners. And one of our board members, Roger Kemp, will get the conversation started.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's great to be back here in the studio today, Chuck, to talk with you personally about a work I know you care a great deal about. We're going to meet somebody in a minute who is from across the pond, as we often say,
yes,
in North America. We'll wait for that for a moment. But I know that you have a tremendous interest in British history, in particular British leaders.
Well, I certainly do, Rog, and it all began when my world of theology began to develop, and I began to read in a deeper realm and came across the fact that so many of those who wrote years ago, and their roots were right there in the great British Isles, and some from Scotland, some of them from right there in the heart of London. Names come to mind like Wycliffe and Wesley and both John and Charles, as well as the ancient world of Tyndale. And then you would have to certainly include Charles Spurgeon, the prince of the pulpiteers, and Joseph Parker, and more recently, the late John Stott, and Martin Lloyd-Jones certainly would be one that I've admired over the years. So you're right. And if we're going to broaden it, we'd include C.S. Lewis,
right,
philosopher, professor, and also even the politician and statesman Churchill.
Right.
You
quote a lot.
Yeah, I have a whole shelf in my library of Churchill works and works about Churchill. I'm just fascinated by that whole realm of thinking and writing. You're right.
Well, you know, today we're going to talk a little bit about Insight for Living's ministry in Great Britain and that part of the world. I remember a time back in the early 90s, I think it was, when we were invited by a radio station who was just getting launched in London called Premier Radio. That's what an American would call it. I understand it's actually Premier Radio. But they asked us to be one of their charter broadcasters. It's
yes,
quite an honor and unusual in London to,
yes,
to do that.
Yeah, I loved that visit. It was probably my first direct encounter with someone who professionally is involved in taking the ministry of the word to the people on the air. And such friendly folks and so delightful to be around. And, of course, you've got that great accent. You know, I've said to friends that have that accent, if I just had that, that would be the one thing that would just hold the audience for as long as I wish. But along with that, of course, is the joy of knowing we're broadening our ministry to include the place of our roots, which will go all the way back to the land of England and the British Isles.
The motherland.
And absolutely.
What an honor to be a charter broadcaster on Premier Radio. We couldn't have done it, of course, without the help of Transworld Radio, who was right by our side the first day that we entered Great Britain with our ministry, and UCB broadcasters as well. But, I wonder, Chuck, getting back to the issue of the spiritual heritage of Great Britain, many say that they're living in a post-Christian era. How do you see that?
Yeah, I hear that all the time. In fact, I've even asked those who are from that area if that is insulting, and I've been told no, it's a fact. They acknowledge it, they realize it, and there's no denying it, because there was a time back in, well, we could go to the Victorian era, where, as Warren Wiersbe points out in his great works, Listening to the Giants and Walking with the Giants, he said that on any given Sunday, you could choose one great preacher after another, and you'd have a dozen or more that would be a difficult choice for you to hear God's truth being clearly and faithfully proclaimed in literally a verse-by-verse exposition of the Scriptures. Whereas today, that would still be found, but it would be much, much less often. would we hear of it? And we'll learn of that from our friend who's with us today.
Well, Insight for Living doesn't like to take its ministry to other countries and other parts of the world without having what we might call boots on the ground, if you will. We like to have a presence. We don't want to just import our program without having a significant presence there. So I know you've invited somebody to share the table with us today who can probably do a lot better talking about the ministry in Great Britain than we can. So let's go ahead and meet Terry.
Oh, that's great. This is Dr. Terry Boyle, B-O-Y-L-E. Terry Boyle is a longtime friend of the Swindolls. We met years ago, Terry, and I remember thinking, what a sharp tool in the hands of the Lord you're going to be as you were training in ministry at Dallas Seminary. And that has certainly been proven true.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for this chance to share a little bit about my ministry in the UK on behalf of Insight for Living. How can I start? I grew up in England, but I came to Texas when I was 26 years old, and I spent most of my adult life here. Now, people say, well, did you come for training in the ministry? And no, actually, when I came, I wasn't even a Christian yet. Christ had not won me yet. I came for matrimony and adventure. And I was in love with a young lady by the name of Rosie, and I had to come to Texas to catch her.
So did you follow her here, or had she come here and then you followed, or what?
Rosie was a nurse by training, and almost straight out of nurses' training school, she accepted an invitation to come to Texas to pursue a nursing career. So she was living here, even though she was born in the UK. We met at a medical conference because my first career was in biochemistry. I was a scientist by training. And the company that I was working for sent me to a medical conference. Rosie's hospital sent her to the same conference. And this was in Brighton on the south coast of England. And we met at the conference. I fell head over heels in love, and I determined that this was the woman I would chase. So Rosie and I got to know each other. We courted, if you will, for a short period of time that
summer.
Now,
was she as madly in love with you as you with her?
She took a little convincing.
Yeah. Often the way it is.
I had to chase her until she caught me.
And you chased her all the way to Texas.
I did. I chased her to Dallas, Texas, and quite soon after that, we were married. And put down roots in Texas. We lived there, raised a family there, built home there. And I came to faith in Texas. And then we got involved in a church. And the people at the church started to see something in me. I was helping to teach Sunday schools and sort of pinch hitting for different teachers. And they suggested that I try my hand at applying for seminary. And I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't really know what that entailed. But I thought, well, I'll look into it. And I looked into Dallas Theological Seminary because it was just the closest one to us. That was really all it was. I started reading and I started hearing stories about this man by the name of Howard Hendricks. Prof, they called him. And I said to Rosie one day, I said, listen, there's this one course that I really think I should take. I'm not convinced on this seminary idea, but there's this one course that sounds intriguing and I think I need to take that. So I enrolled, and they accepted me, and I took that one course, Bible Study Methods, with Howard Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
And I was hooked. He turned my life upside down and inside out, and Dallas Seminary then became a train that I simply didn't know how to get off.
Good. So what did Rosie think? Suddenly she realizes, I'm married to a man that's training for ministry.
Well, she had never had any intention to marry a pastor, and I had never had any intention to be married to a pastor's wife, but that's how it worked out. That's how it came to be. So I took a master's in theology at Dallas with a specialization in pastoral leadership, and then I went on to finish up with the PhD in the Bible Exposition Department in Biblical Studies, and loved every minute.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
You know, folks say that to sound good about it or sound right about it.
No, it was.
But I can tell, having known you all these years, you really mean that. You really gleaned much from those years at the school.
I did. It was a thrilling time. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Nobody's going to tell you it's not hard.
As I tell students when I speak there in chapel, it's supposed to be hard.
That's right.
You know, if it were easy, you'd go under the impression that ministry is easy. And ministry has its hard moments. It's all part of the training.
It is.
But
it is.
Once you got beyond the fact that there were other profs there besides Howard Hendricks, your world exploded, I would imagine.
It did. It did. And I can't think of a single class I took. I can't think of a single credit hour I took that I didn't get something from and didn't enjoy thoroughly. I drank it down. It was a wonderful time.
Well, now, you had to move from Dallas Seminary and interest in ministry to the broadcast of Insight for Living Ministries,
yes.
Where you are now. How did that transpire?
Well, I don't know. Chuck, we haven't talked about this much, but I don't know if you remember in the spring of 99, you were invited out to speak at our graduating class retreat. And as fortune would have it, as God directed it, you and Cynthia and Rosie and myself ended up sitting on a front porch swing, sipping tea, daydreaming about what the future might bring. And the idea of a ministry in England came up in that conversation. Mm. But it wasn't the right time for IFL, and it wasn't the right time for me either. I had other fish to fry at the time.
Sure.
So that whole idea went to the back burner. Well, then in 2006, IFL appointed Scott Bean to actually go to the UK from the international department here at IFL. Scott was tapped to be the man to open up that ministry and be the executive director of that ministry.
Right.
And one of the things that you charged him with was to find a pastor who knew the UK and preferably had DTS training and could speak on your behalf, on the ministry's behalf, and represent the ministry as boots on the ground in England and in Europe.
And guess who? Huh?
Well, Scott Bean was actually a member of my congregation at that time.
Oh, that works. Yeah, that works well.
And he said, well, the one they're asking about really sounds a lot like my pastor. Perhaps I should ask him.
So it sounds a little bit like Antioch, where the Spirit of God said, take these two men and send them on their way. And that's what happened at that church.
Yeah.
So they lost Scott as well as you. Not lost, but they then released you.
They released me with their blessing,
yeah.
I have to say.
I'm sure.
We had enough notice to where that little church in Dallas could build a good on-ramp, if you will, for the next pastor.
Yeah.
He was already with us as one of the elders. He was already studying at Dallas Seminary. I took him under my wing, and he became a co-pastor, if you will, for a few months.
Wow.
So I could show him where all the skeletons were buried and everything.
Sure.
He took over, and the church never missed a beat. It was a wonderful transition.
So you really returned home when you came back, and Rosie as well, and Scott began a whole new world.
Yes, yeah.
For the Bean family.
Yes.
As they brought their children and began their lives there.
Yes, indeed.
And you're now serving. Where is that located? Where is the headquarters?
Well, the UK office is in Dorking in Surrey. Surrey is a county that sits to the south and a little to the west of London.
Okay.
And we're right in the middle of that county. So we're a 40-minute train ride from central London, but we're out in the most beautiful countryside you can imagine. It's a delight to have an office there because the drive to work is so beautiful. It's wonderful.
I've never asked you this, Terry, but having been gone from there all those years,
yes,
your returning there may have been familiar because you were reared there, born there, and it was home for you. But you must have seen some differences when you returned.
Yes, I did.
Describe that for us.
It was culture shock again.
When you move
to live in another country, there's always going to be culture shock. But I didn't expect culture shock going back to the UK. But I'd been gone for a generation.
Right.
And in that generation, the country had changed. Not all for the better, I confess. I think the country is moving more and more in the direction of secularism. Mm. I think the country is moving more and more towards it's a sort of a brutality. We're having a lot of violent street crime now in the UK, which was unheard of when I lived there. And so coming back to the UK, finding it to be a little less comfortable, a little less civilized perhaps, it was a real shock to me, and it took quite an adjustment to come to terms with that. But
You realized that there's a real need here for the truth that God's equipped me with, and now, of all things, I am one of his spokesmen. That must have been a thrill for you to realize.
It was a thrill and a challenge.
Yes, a challenge for sure.
Because the church in England, not the Church of England, but the church in England, finds itself a little bit on the defensive. We are in a post-Christian era in Europe, and other parts of Europe are feeling it even more than we are in the UK. But Christian values, the Christian mindset, it doesn't inform our politics anymore. It doesn't inform our jurisdiction anymore. Everything is driven by the secular mindset. And so churches feel themselves to be against the ropes sometimes. Now, one of the privileges of my ministry, one of the delights that I have, is that I can go from these small churches who feel, I call it the Elijah syndrome, they feel like they're the only ones left.
Yes.
They feel like they're the only ones left, but I can go from oasis to oasis in a desert of secularism, and I can encourage them, and I can strengthen them, and I can show them the word, and I can build up their strength and give them hope to carry on and just convince them, you know, you're not alone. Just over that hill, there's another church that believes the same way you do. But the last information I saw, the last set of statistics that was released, it seemed to me that the churches that were sticking to the gospel, in other words, the churches that were still preaching the word from the word, they were doing fine. People appreciated that. They were looking for that. The churches that are in decline tend to be the churches that have lost their grip on the scriptures. Mm. Because let's face it, if you can't go to church and hear the scriptures, why would you go? You might as well stay home and read the newspaper.
Yeah.
And I have been to churches where the minister has preached a sermon out of the last book he read or out of the last story he read in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Terry, you're touching a raw nerve for us here in North America because we look to your part of the world as maybe being ahead of us by a decade or two, and mm-hmm. we know we're right behind you in some of these things. Maybe I could ask a question this way. This is true in North America. It's true in your part of the world. Why are the big grand cathedrals that we celebrate throughout the world for their history empty on Sunday mornings?
Well, I think it's because the grand cathedrals are the monuments to the people who really wanted to make a big footprint or a big splash theologically. But parts of the Church of England, as I say, simply lost their grip on the scriptures. They didn't give anyone a reason to come. They didn't give anyone any hope because their message was softened down to the point of, if you can just be a good neighbor, or if you can just do no harm, or if you can just help a friend out, then that's it. God's going to love you. Now, we know that that's an incomplete gospel. That's a fuzzy gospel.
Yeah.
But it's a very prevalent gospel in
yes.
the UK. Everybody, instinctively, I believe, feels that they have a problem with God, an innate sense that we need to relate to God, but somehow we can't. Mm. Now, it's only the message of grace and it's only Christ's work on the cross that solves that problem. Mm. But people try to find different solutions to that problem, and they always come up empty, and they always come up wanting. And so if that solution isn't offered in that church, eventually they'll realize, well, this is just another self-help movement.
Yes.
And it doesn't give me anything spiritual. It doesn't give me anything that I can feed my soul with.
This beautiful voice you're hearing today is the voice of Dr. Terry Boyle, who is our voice over in Great Britain, the whole British Isles, and beyond. It's such a thrill to have you here in our studio with us today because we know that you represent what we believe in as well, and that is the value of understanding the Bible.
Yes.
Now, do folks respond, and do you hear from them?
We do.
Great.
In fact, I took the liberty of bringing some notes from people who've been back in touch with our UK ministry, so I can tell you some of the feedback that we
get.
Please
do.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, here's a note that came in from a lady, and she titled it A Message for Chuck. This was in response to a devotional message that you'd given. Dear Chuck, following what you've said in today's message, I have to tell you that you have offered me broken seeds on many occasions. From God's hand and your listening heart, I have been sustained with truth when I needed challenging, laughter when I needed to lighten up, courage when almost overwhelmed with fear, something solid and real and steady in God's word as you unwrap it. And she goes on to say, I started reading your books back in the 70s. I listened to tapes and radio broadcasts, and now I've reached 70, and I think it's about time you knew how nurturing the seeds have been.
Oh, man.
That's beautifully written.
How wonderful.
Isn't that lovely?
What a great response.
That's wonderful. And we hear things like that all the time.
Oh, it's
in fact, it's funny how she says that she started reading your books.
Yes.
I've come to find out that that's how a lot of people know your name.
Right.
We were broadcast into the United Kingdom with Transworld Radio's broadcast, the big shortwave one out of Monaco.
Right.
And people used to listen on the shortwave radios to your ministry back in the late 70s, early 80s. But when that broadcast ceased and the shortwave radio went quiet, people thought you'd gone away. But they still had your books. And so they were keeping up with Chuck Swindoll's ministry by getting the books. And lots of people come up to me and say, you know, I read The Grace Awakening long time ago now.
Yeah.
And that's where I know his name from. Is he still on the radio?
Oh,
I say,
yeah,
oh, is he ever? Yes, he's on the radio. And let me show you how you can listen.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, your books are very popular in the UK. And the radio ministry, through Premier Radio and through the other outlets we have, Transworld Radio still carries our broadcast in the UK. Another broadcaster, United Christian Broadcasters, carries the program.
Yes.
So we have a big listenership, and your program is still very popular for a long time now.
Isn't it great, Raj, to have a presence there?
Yes.
Not just way over here in the United States, but right there with local voices, local people, folks that are in that area, living right there, that represent Christ, our messages, and, of course, the broader picture of the Insight for Living.
I'm reminded, too, Chuck, when I hear a letter like that and comments like that, that we have far more in common with the Great Britain as North Americans than we think. That sounds like a letter that we would have written right here in the United States, in Texas, with the people that we hear from. I wonder if you have another one, Terry, you could share with us.
I do. I'll read this one. This came in from a listener who said, "Ever since I was a teenager, when my mother introduced me to Chuck's ministry," that's a generational handoff, "I have listened to his relevant messages and read his entertaining and helpful books. I found his sermons of great help through the joys and sorrows of life. For example, when I went through divorce and illness, and when I found fresh hope in a new church family. I used to listen on Christian radio stations, but now that I have a smartphone, I listen on the Insight for Living app. I listen just before I go to bed, and I always find my heart touched, encouraged, and instructed in God's truth. I'm amazed by the wealth of sermons I can access on the app, and the Lord always guides me to the message he wishes me to hear. So thank you, Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll, and thank you too, Dr. Terry Boyle. You have all helped me beyond measure and been God's voice through the seasons of my life."
Isn't that great?
That's a sweet letter.
It's so encouraging to hear, Terry, how God is using the program in the UK. It means so much to us. We're trying to do a better job here in the United States and Canada at telling our listeners what God is doing around the world. It's so exciting. We get to hear about it all the time. We don't often get to share it. I have some good news. God has been sustaining this ministry over the summer months and into the fall. We're so grateful for the solid support that we've had from our listening family. Today, we're just opening the world a little bit on the UK. We want to share with you that British listeners and listeners from that part of the world are helping us sustain that ministry in that part of the world.
So glad you said that, Raj. We are supported by the faithful giving of people just like you. So let me urge you to be one of those who will stand with us at Insight for Living regularly.
People may not realize this, but in the UK ministry, Insight for Living UK's biggest bill every month is broadcast fees. We pay for airtime for the stations that carry our program, and it's our biggest bill each month. So we would really like to encourage our homegrown listeners, our UK listeners, to step up and help to support Insight for Living UK.
Great time for me to add a wonderful statement. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen.
So if your heart is with us, let's make sure your treasure follows right along.
And I hope you're encouraged today listening, knowing that your gifts to Insight for Living Ministries are making a difference. We've heard some of the stories today. It's just thrilling to have you in the studio with us today, Terry. And I wondered if you would do us the favor of closing today in prayer, maybe just asking that God would continue to bless the work of Insight for Living in Great Britain and beyond.
I would be happy to. Heavenly Father, merciful God, you have prepared the works that you've laid before us, and it's our task to pick them up and take them and do them. So, Father, thank you for the privilege of this task to work with Insight for Living all around the world, but particularly, Lord, for my ministry in the UK. I ask you, Lord, to bless our efforts. We do them for you and for you alone. This is all about your reputation, Father. So help us to increase your glory as we minister for you on your behalf through Insight for Living in the UK. Amen.
Amen.
You're listening to a special edition of Insight for Living. In the studio today, Terry Boyle, our field pastor and the program host in the United Kingdom, along with Roger Kemp and, of course, Chuck Swindoll. To listen to this program again, you'll find it posted at insightworld.org. As God leads you to participate in Christ's command to go and make disciples in the United Kingdom and beyond, we invite you to give a donation as well. Whatever amount God leads you to give will truly make a difference in the lives of those who benefit from Chuck's teaching. If you're listening in the United States, you can give a contribution by calling 1-800-772-8888. Or a growing number of supportive friends are using the convenient Insight for Living mobile app to give. Your donation will truly make a difference for eternity. So give today by going to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Join us again Thursday when Chuck resumes our biographical study about Esther, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding interview, a Vision 195 conversation with Chuck, Insight for Living United Kingdom, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.